One of my favourite stories to read to the children is Mr. Gumpy's Motor Car. It has a fairly uncomplicated plot line in which Mr. Gumpy takes two children and a whole load of animals out for a ride in his car. Now, the dramatic high point of the story comes when the rain falls and the car gets stuck in the mud. "Some of you will have to get out and push," says Mr. Gumpy. "Not me," says the goat. "I'm too old." "Not me," says the calf. "I'm too young."
"Not us," say the chickens. "We can't push."
"Not me," says the sheep. "I might catch a cold."
"Not me," says the pig. "I've a bone in my trotter."
"Not me," says the dog. "But I'll drive if you like."
"Not me," says the cat. "It would ruin my fur."
"Not me," says the rabbit. "I'm not very well."
"Not me," says the girl. "He's stronger."
"Not me," says the boy. "She's bigger."
I wonder if many of us respond in this way when it comes to serving God.
"Not me, I'm too old."
"Not me, I've got young children."
"Not me, I'm not good enough."
"Not me, I'm too busy."
"Not me, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do."
In fact, when we look at the world around us and the enormity of the task, it seems just that little too big for us to even start tackling it. The kingdom of God appears so far off when confronted by the dark realities of the world. It's much easier to stay in the comfort of the car than get into the mud and start pushing. After all, what difference can we make? Well, in the gospel reading we've just heard this morning, Luke shows us an example of two people who are willing to get on with what they've been asked to do, even though it may seem small, even though they appear fairly insignificant. If anyone could say, "Not us, we're too old," then it's Simeon and Anna. Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple to be presented to fulfill the commands of the law. And there they meet two people who are patiently and quietly waiting and getting on with serving God. First we have Simeon. Luke tells us that he's righteous and devout. He's faithfully looking forward to the consolation of Israel. He's looking for the day when Israel will be restored and there'll be no more Roman overlords, when there'll be peace and justice in the land. He's looking ahead to that promised Messiah. Now, Simeon isn't required to do all that much, but he does have a sense of his place in God's purposes. Luke tells us that guided by the Holy Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And there he recognizes the child as the promised Messiah. And in that song of praise, he acknowledges that this Messiah isn't just for Israel, but is light for all people. And so in Simeon, we have a sense of balance. He faithfully does all that God asks for him, but he also recognizes that God's work is much bigger than him, and it's beyond him. "Master," he says, "now you're dismissing your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." So Simeon's role might be small, but he showed up and he did what was asked of him. It's the same pattern with Anna. Luke tells us that she's a widow, has been for many years, and is now a great age. At 84, we might well expect her to feel justified in kicking back and taking life easy. But instead, she spends her life worshipping in the temple, called to prayer and fasting. Again, it's a very humble task, an unnoticed old widow praying and fasting in the temple. Surely, she's not going to make much difference in the world, is she? But like Simeon, she shows up and she does what she's asked to do. And when she's seen the child, she goes on to tell others about him. Neither Simeon nor Anna say, "Not me, I'm too old." But they also need not worry about trying to do more than is required of them. And that's really important. They do all that God has placed in their hands, but they leave the bigger worries of the world and the coming of his kingdom firmly in his hands. When we reflect, even for a minute, on the many problems of the world, we can feel totally overwhelmed. Where do we start even trying to fix them? But God isn't asking us to do everything. He's not asking us to mend it all by ourselves. But what he is asking us to do is something. Something which he's put into our hands. And it's probably something which we already feel passionate about. And it's definitely something which we can do in our circumstances. Simeon wasn't called to bungee jump from the temple as a fundraiser. Anna wasn't called to be the temple treasurer. Neither was called to be a missionary in Africa. But they were both called to show up and to pray and to praise. And that's what they did. So I wonder what God has put into your hands. What has been entrusted to you or to me? How can we, even in the smallest of ways, make a difference? Every Tuesday morning here at St. Mary's, we have a short Eucharist at 10 o'clock, and it's followed by a time of coffee. Now, about five or six people come each week, and each person, when we have coffee, makes a contribution, a small financial contribution. And that money is collected up over the course of the whole year, until Christmas, when it's given to Crisis. Last year that raised £65.80. And that's not a huge amount of money. It's not actually going to change the world. It's not even going to begin to solve the problems of homelessness. But it does make a small difference. And it's a faithful offering back to God of what he's placed in the hands of those people. Any of us here today can be like Simeon and Anna. Well, Mr. Gumpy's motor car sank deeper into the mud. "Now we're really stuck," said Mr. Gumpy, as they all got out and pushed. They pushed and shoved and heaved and strained and gasped and slipped and slithered and squelched. And slowly, the car began to move. In the end, it's all of them together that make the difference. Towards the end of our service today, we'll gather around the font with lighted candles, and we'll pray that we would shine light in the world. And as we stand there, we remember that it's all of us together, each playing our small part, each doing what we've been asked to do, which can make the difference in the end. Amen.